The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk here in Southern Arizona. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch. John producing and engineering the show on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, the 6th of August, 2019. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. That is also the place for our complete archive of the Buckmaster Show, all the podcasts available for you. Very convenient for you to listen on your schedule 24/7, buckmastershow.com, our live line number. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we open it right now for you at 790-2040. Let's go to our Washington, D.C. contributor, Terry Bracey. He's one of more than two dozen contributors we're so honored to have on this program. Terry, our contributor on Washington and governmental affairs. The man has enjoyed a very long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's the senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents a couple of very important local clients, namely the city of Tucson and Pima Community College. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing just fine, thank you.
You enjoying the summer baseball season?
Well, yeah, it's kind of a sad day, but, you know, after all these killings and but we've got baseball, and
yep.
Baseball always picks me up. We've got the Nationals have turned out to be a good team. When we last spoke, I thought they were dead in the water, but they put on this kind of historic comeback where they won. Well, they went 35-15.
Wow.
And brought themselves right back into the pennant race. And although the Diamondbacks knocked them off 2 out of 3 a few days ago, but I think they're going to end up playing the Cubs in the postseason.
Well, that would be interesting. The Bracey versus Buckmaster teams.
You got it. There'll be a big bet on that one.
Oh, my goodness. We have so much to talk about today. The budget compromise. You've got an op-ed piece coming up this week in the Arizona Daily Star. But, of course, we need to begin with what turned out to be one of the most tragic weekends in this country. It was really a tragic week. It's been a tragic year for mass shootings with what happened in El Paso and Dayton. Terry, do you see anything going on in Washington regarding legislation?
Well, Congress is in recess, and so I haven't talked to any members. And, of course, the president's response is kind of the same old song and dance. Talks about his support for better background checks, even kind of bills. He's threatened to veto the same bill requiring just that. You know, the House passed a bill requiring this in February, and it's been sitting in the Senate without action because of McConnell's and the president's opposition.
What exactly would that bill do? And I know the president had threatened to veto it, correct?
Right. And, well, under current law, retailers who sell guns are required to do a background check on the buyer. So if you buy it at Walmart's, they've got to do a background check. The House bill is kind of a modest reform that would extend that background check requirement to guns transferred by individuals or sold at these gun shows. And both Senator McConnell and the president, I said, have taken a position that this change would somehow threaten the Second Amendment right to bear arms. Bill, I can't imagine that the founders thought that the right to bear arms extended to machine guns.
Mm. And there is not a law forbidding the manufacture of what are commonly referred to as assault weapons in this country.
Well, there was. In 1994, Congress passed a 10-year ban on the manufacture of assault weapons. But when it came time to renew it in 2004, it was blocked by the National Rifle Association lobby and its supporters in Congress. Almost all of these killings, Bill, if you know this, are done with guns that can repeatedly fire. Think of this. In Dayton, 9 were killed and 27 injured in 30 seconds.
Mm.
30 seconds. How can we let this to go on? I don't understand it. Clearly, there's a difference between the right to bear arms and the right to fire machine guns.
Well, you wonder. We've gone down kind of this continuous loop, Terry Bracey, with these mass shootings. Nothing ever gets done. It's very frustrating. And we'll see if this is the catalyst that might move the needle. But personally, I kind of doubt it. I hope something is done, but who knows? On a more pleasant subject, there finally was a budget compromise. Is this a sign that maybe the two sides can get along?
Well, I wish I could say yes, but I don't really think so. First of all, I should say that this budget funds many worthy programs, including several that are very helpful to our Tucson economy: public housing funds, develop block grants, full funding for the A-10, which is housed at Davis-Monthan. All of that's to the good. But in my view, this $1.3 trillion budget overspends in many, many areas. In fact, it's not a real compromise, in my view, because there was no capitulation of deficit spending on either side.
Terry, it's certain. Can we expect a little more here in the future? I mean, we did have a compromise to this resolution. That's a good sign. Is it certainly being played by both sides as a compromise? Is that how it's being viewed, Terry Bracey?
Well, you know, yeah, that's how it's being played, but really, as I said, Bill, a compromise is the resolution of a dispute where both sides actually lose something in an agreement. I frankly, as I've looked through this budget, I don't see where either side is losing anything in this budget, which, imagine this, in 48 months will add $320 billion to the national debt. Add to that debt incurred by the tax cut, which is estimated by the Tax Foundation at $448 billion. Wow.
Mm. Wasn't it Dick Cheney who famously said deficits don't matter?
Well, he did indeed, and apparently that's become the policy of the Republican Party. I'm really not qualified to say if he's right or wrong, yet this violates every principle of economics I learned at college. Debt simply gets piled upon generations, while at the same time driving up the amount of money each year the U.S. pays its debtors. Right now, Bill, a quarter of every dollar raised in taxes goes to paying interest on the debt. 25%. It's like America is living on a payday loan. I'd love to hear what Shelley thinks about this.
Well, maybe we'll ask Shelley that in his segment coming up in a couple of minutes. Terry, do you see any movement in the Democratic race for president?
Yeah, well, let me just raise a point. With all these debates and the back and forth and the attacks, Bill, have to remind ourselves the key to being elected in America, no matter what your credentials, you must be liked. Now, Senator Harris is an example, I think. She has an impressive record as a prosecutor, obviously a very strong intellect, and yet I think she made a major mistake in her attacks on Biden. The media, you know, played her as the winner of the first debate, and her polling numbers went up modestly. But in the long run, she doesn't come across as likable.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that might doom her chances. Look at the field and tell me, which candidates do you think are likable, and in that group will be the winner?
I agree with you, Terry Bracey. Paul has called us at 790-2040. Paul would like to readdress the gun issue. Go ahead, Paul.
This is so open about what he's talking about. Obviously, criminals are not going to obey any laws that we pass. They don't obey laws that we have now. All this gun-grabbing stuff is going to leave people like me and you and other people in Arizona without any self-defense.
What do you think, Terry?
Well, Paul, I hear that, but the real issue here is these kids that are doing this are not criminals. They've got a lot of problems. They're not criminals. They're just little nuts, and they have their hands not on knives or six-shooters or revolvers. They have their hands on machine guns. You know, I mean, people in Arizona, all of us, we need to be safe, and if people feel that a handgun makes them safe, I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem with them buying automatic weapons, and that's what's killing people.
All right.
That's my view.
Okay, Terry, before we go, your op-ed is tomorrow, I believe, right, in the Star?
Yeah, it's on the budget. I'm a whiny old man. What can I say?
All right. Terry Bracey, right. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Shelley Fishman will be up with us next, and he's giving me a thumbs up. Means the market's having a little bit of a recovery, which is good news. Thanks a lot, Terry.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Terry Bracey, our contributor from Washington, D.C. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by our friends at Mona's Danish Bakery. Wow, what a great place right now to stop by. Have a sandwich. The bread that sandwich will be served upon came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago. It's so good. All the variety of breads. And at breakfast, you can have toast made from that great bread. And I said breakfast. They're open at 6:30 each morning. The hot grill all fired up and ready to go at Mona's Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com, and there's a link at buckmastershow.com, not only to Mona's, but all of our great sponsors. Shelley Fishman next. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how is your week going so far?
Not counting yesterday.
Boy, yesterday was kind of cruel on Wall Street. Whoa, man. Bloodbath kind of comes to mind.
Sure. The end of 5 days of losses on,
2,000 points after last week.
So we had about an 8% correction totally. Difference yesterday, of course, was we had a precipitating event, which actually several precipitating events, many of which had to do with the trade policies of the administration vis-a-vis China, precipitously, and the world's economic slowdown in general. So China decided to not intervene in a devaluation of its currency. It was a small devaluation overnight, and that was looked at by most economists as a deliberate retaliation against the tariffs that the Trump administration is threatening to impose on China beginning in September. And the market went kablooey on it. We lost about 700 and something points. Actually, at one point, we were down almost 1,000 points.
Yeah, almost 950 or something.
Right, and it was orderly. And today, we're up about 230, 240 points. So this is not a crash. It is, let's call it a mini correction.
How about Terry's question about deficits and do they matter? And I think he said something like, it's like America living on a payday loan. Now, a quarter of every dollar, Shelley, raised by taxes goes to paying interest on the debt.
Right. And that's going to get worse, actually, especially if interest rates begin to rise over time. However, what Terry was talking about in his economics classes was traditional economic theory. And what we have found over the past decade or so is that traditional economic theory is up for question and some revisionism. For instance, if you take a payday loan and you don't have liquid cash to make a payment, you can't print some. Now, or at least I can't. You might be able to, but most of us can't print money. The Treasury can. The U.S. government can print money. The states can't. The cities can't, so they have to balance their budgets. But the federal government has the ability to pay its debts by printing new money. Now, that has traditionally, in traditional economics, been viewed as something that would eventually be inflationary. Historically, that's been an inflationary thing to do. But the dollar is somewhat unique in the world because so many things are denominated in dollars and there's so many dollars around. Perhaps at some point we could print so much that the world would be awash in dollars and the value of the dollar would go down. That would cause inflation to go up. But we're not seeing that. So the question, do deficits matter? The answer is we're not sure. And so what we're going to see, because the things that Terry talked about with the budget deal and with the tax cuts and with just the amount of spending we've been doing is causing the deficits to rise as a percentage in an alarming rate. If you're a traditional economist, we don't know if it's alarming. We'll see over the next couple of years.
How about this downturn correction? Is it leading us to a recession?
Well, okay, so we have
We have not been in a recession in a long time.
Well, we haven't been in a recession since 2008.
There you go.
The markets, I always have to say this, Bill, the markets, the equity and bond markets are not the economy. The economy is separate from that. So when we talk about a recession, we're talking about whether you take 2 months or 3 months of negative growth in the economy as measured by traditional GDP standards. We're not there. Now, we've seen growth slow down, and we've seen growth even go negative in certain sectors of the economy, but we have not seen the economy go to zero or below in terms of growth. That said, in my most pessimistic view of things, we could be looking at a recession in the next two or three quarters. The reason being that GDP growth is slowing. Consumption is slowing. We saw in the second quarter, we saw companies actually not manufacturing new stuff, but using their existing inventories to meet the demands for their products. Now, when companies do that, that means that their sales forecasts are reducing. And as a result, they try to keep inventories at what most business people would call an optimal level. And so they're reducing inventories. When companies are not producing, that means GDP goes down. It also means that they don't need to build more factories. They don't need to invest in capital equipment. And so they're flush with cash. You know, they've got the tax cuts, they've got repatriation of funds. And what are they doing with that cash? They're buying back their stock and they're paying higher dividends. So what the economy is telling us, if we take the trouble to listen, is that business people, business executives are somewhat pessimistic about continued growth, even at this 2% rate. Now, if we begin to see growth dropping down below 2% and maybe even approaching zero, that's kind of the definition of what a recession would be. We'd probably need a precipitating event, maybe something in the housing sector, in the banking sector, that would trigger it. But yeah, I'm concerned about a recession happening within the next 18 months.
And you have felt, it's kind of your theory, that over time there is this very strong relationship between the growth of securities and GDP growth.
Yeah. Now, having said that, the market is not the economy, let me take that back, do a quick 360 on you, mm-hmm. or 180, and say it has been my theory, and I cannot prove this mathematically, that there is a connection long-term, mm-hmm. between GDP growth and market growth. And what we've seen over the past 40 or 50 years since the end of, actually 60 or 70 years, since the end of World War II, is that market growth is running at about 3 to 4 times GDP growth. So if GDP growth has averaged 3 or 4%, we've seen market growth averaging about 11 or 12%. And when the market gets ahead of itself, we see corrections happen. And when it lags a little bit, we see really good years. We see some 20% years and that kind of thing. If the growth that we're seeing is going to be typical now for the next couple of years of 2% or less, then you would expect to see market growth, if my theory is mm-hmm. true, mm-hmm. market growth of 6 or 7 or 8%. That's what I'm forecasting for the year. By the way, that's just below where we are right now.
Hmm. We were up to almost 20%.
We were. But again, we've had this correction. I worked the numbers this morning, mm-hmm. so they're about a point off. But year to date, the S&P is up about 13%, and the Dow is up about 10% year to date. So we'll see what happens in the rest of the year to see if the market kind of stays flat, or if it kind of regains its upward momentum, or if people are just very cautious right now because of what's happening in the rest of the world.
And we're still waiting to see if this China thing is going to happen.
Yeah, well, the China thing is happening. I mean, whether it happens in September or, mm-hmm. or you know, they start, you know, throwing gumballs at each other over the table. But there's no doubt about the fact that the trade policy of this administration has thrown headwinds into the economy. Mm-hmm. Now, they've tried to offset those headwinds with some stimulus, but, you know, we'll have to see kind of which which of those forces comes to dominate. Right now, they're pretty much in balance. 2% is what most economists were saying we were going to get. Now, the administration was predicting 3 or 4 or 5%. You know, some of those sycophants that are advising the president are telling him good news that never comes to pass. But 2% isn't a horrible number, Bill. We'd like to do better than that. But if we can stay steady at 2%, the economy will be fine.
All right, Shelley Fishman, thank you very much. We can find out more about Shelley on my website, buckmastershow.com, where there is a link to Mr. Fishman, who will promptly return your phone call. Thanks, Shelley. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
All right, Dr. Ray Woosley is next with our Your Med segment. Later on, coming up at about 12:45, we'll have our Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. So we've got lots more to come in the second half of the Buckmaster Hour.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Hey, it's cooler over there. That's quite an incentive to take the drive because of that great mile-high elevation, anywhere from about 5,500 feet to 7,000 feet. That's going to make for really nice evenings, cooler days, certainly, over in Southwest New Mexico. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the listing of the great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Additional support comes from Green Things, our favorite nursery for all your plants at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and now their 13-acre site, home to Zocalo and all that great handmade, many cases handmade merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Visit greenthingsaz.com. It's time for our monthly segment on the Buckmaster Show, where we focus on your medication and how to take control of your health care. Our Your Meds segment features Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley, the former University of Arizona College of Medicine dean, founder and now president emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute. It's known as CPATH. Dr. Woosley is also co-director of the Clinical Data Analytics and Decision Support Team at the U of A College of Medicine in Phoenix. His latest creation, Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website, visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Visit CredibleMeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, good to see you.
You too, Bill.
So many people doing marijuana these days. And of course, there is medical marijuana in Arizona. And who knows, this might be on the ballot in 2020 to make it make it legal to do recreational marijuana. Does marijuana have interaction with other drugs?
Well, we're beginning to learn that. You know, there's been laws prohibiting research on marijuana for many years. So it wasn't possible to learn the things you'd like to know about this. And I hesitate to call it a medicine, but for many people it is.
Mm-hmm.
For many people, it's a drug. It's a escape. Means many different things to many people. But what we've tried to focus at Credible Meds is on the medicines. But we're beginning to learn that some of the things that we wouldn't usually call medicines, you know, dietary supplements and drugs like marijuana, can affect the way you respond to your medicines. And this is we're beginning to become aware of that with so many millions of people now using marijuana on a regular basis as it's medically available, mm-hmm. but also for recreational purposes. You know, the average person in this country takes 6 medicines. The average person over age 65 takes 12 medicines.
12 medicines?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. So are those like prescriptions?
Those are prescriptions I'm talking about.
Whoa.
So on top of those 6 or 12 medicines that they're taking prescribed by their doctors, they're also taking things like marijuana more and more. And we are just now beginning to learn that marijuana, which has its own pros and cons, has the ability to make our medicines not work the way we intended.
Well, let's take, for example, one of the medicines that so many people, and especially over 65, I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of the most common ones of that 10 or 12 that the average person over 65 takes, is this blood thinner. It's called Coumadin.
That's the brand name.
The brand name. And it's been around a long time.
Over 70 years.
Wow. Was that originally a rat poison?
It was. It was patented by the University of Wisconsin as warfarin. And it's been available as Coumadin for over 70 years. It's one of the most commonly prescribed drugs for people with heart disease. So a lot of young people with heart disease take it because it prevents clotting. And sometimes clots can really be dangerous and cause stroke. They can be formed in your legs and go to your lungs and cause pulmonary embolus that can cause your death. So it's a very life-saving drug for many people, but it has a lot of drug interactions and it can build up in your system. and cause excessive bleeding that can cause your take your life also.
And many people take it for atrial fibrillation, which, by the way, doctors are now saying they're seeing AFib in 20-year-olds, Dr. Woosley, people in their 20s. And guess what? And this won't surprise you. Guess what's bringing on the AFib? A lot of these energy drinks.
Exactly. You're absolutely
right. And this is a real serious problem that's developing.
It is. And atrial fibrillation in a young person really shortens their lifespan. It can create children that have strokes very young in age or severe cardiac limitation.
And typically the AFib in older people comes on after 65, and mm-hmm. people can live a pretty much a normal life with AFib if it comes on when it is typically does. But when you're talking about somebody in their 20s or 30s, that's a problem.
Right. Fibrillation, the atrial fibrillation, puts a tremendous burden on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it over years, the heart burns out.
All right. We do have a question about drug contaminants for Dr. Woosley. Greg has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for taking this call.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an index? I'll give you my circumstance. I've taken statin, big dose of statin, and losartan, and aspirin, and one other, pentoxifilin. My sister-in-law is an acupuncturist, the doctor of oriental medicine. Is what her title is. And she gave me 3 supplements. And I'm concerned about taking those supplements with the meds I'm taking already. Is there an index anywhere of how these things interact?
Hmm. No, there isn't. Unfortunately, there are reports in the literature that would tell you that the dietary supplements that are recommended to are being marketed today can interact with your medicines, and they can, especially with cardiac drugs, be dangerous. So I would talk to your physician and pharmacist to see what you can learn about those dietary supplements and see if there's any risk. Ginseng is often in those, and there are data indicating that it can affect the clotting of blood, and whether they interact with your other medicines or not is very possible. I know pentoxifilin is one that I would want to look up right away.
Getting back to the Coumadin, the Warfarin, there was a recent study at your ACERT?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Arizona CERT.
Yeah, Arizona CERT did a study. What were the results of that?
Well, we asked the question, how many drugs interact with warfarin? And we
right.
started looking at the different sources. You know, most pharmacies and healthcare providers buy a database. And so we looked at the 3 major products that are out there to tell you about drug interactions. And we found that one of them listed 182 drugs that interact with warfarin.
Oh, my goodness. But
another bill listed 427, and the FDA label says there's 295. So I don't know who's right, but it's a huge number, whatever it is. And the fact that we don't know the exact number means that there's a lot of misinformation out there. So I think it means that doctors sometimes don't trust their sources of information when they see conflicting results like that. But if you looked at all those 4 sources, there was only 8% of the drugs that all 4 agreed upon.
Oh, my goodness.
So we believe that these databases are being thrown together without rigor. They're putting in drugs that may not interact because the data just don't support it, but it's some anecdote. So I think the message is that there can be a lot of interactions, and you've got to protect yourself and watch carefully how your body is responding to a drug like warfarin.
And most of the computer warnings are probably ignored.
They are. And, you know, there's this, in medicine, it's called alert fatigue. And, it, you know, you see it, people in the hospital with beeps and alarms going off left and right.
Yeah.
And it's the same with their electronic medical record. The chart for the doctor is just telling them every few minutes, you've made a mistake. Whereas the doctors know that most of the time that's not true. But how do they know when they're getting bombarded by these alerts that aren't useful?
What can the Credible Meds website do for people?
We provide a space where you can go in and learn, but you can also find tools to help you manage your medicines. We have Med Safety Scan, which will tell you when you put in the list of your medicines, it'll tell you if any of those have heart side effects. We also have links, so if you wanted to check for any interactions, you can go directly to one of several trusted drug interaction checkers. Then you can print that list and take it to your doctor and pharmacist every visit, because most of people seeing doctors are seeing several, mm-hmm. and they may not have the same records. And if every doctor doesn't know what you're taking, the next prescription could be dangerous.
And then doctors will typically say, well, what are you taking? And mm-hmm. people usually don't have a list with them, and they'll remember maybe one or two things. And
especially if you're taking 12.
12?
Right.
Sure. I mean, they're not going to get them all, for sure.
And that list often doesn't include things that it should, like hormones, dietary supplements. These are things that are drugs, and now people probably wouldn't want to put marijuana on there, but they should let their doctors know if they're using any medications or drugs.
And remember, about if you're taking marijuana for medical purposes, there are interactions.
There are going to be more, I'm sure. The interaction with warfarin is just the tip of an iceberg. We will begin to see more and more, I'm sure, as it's used more.
CredibleMeds.org for more information. Dr. Woosley, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, 12:45 now on the Buckmaster Show, the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report with longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer Margaret Regan is next on Buckmaster. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Arts Report is sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. Although the outside temperatures certainly don't feel like fall yet, the fall entertainment season has indeed arrived at the cool, comfortable Fox Tucson Theater. The Fox fall season begins with Justin Hayward, All the Way Tour on Sunday, August the 18th. Of course, he's the famous singer, songwriter, guitarist, Justin recognized worldwide as a member of the Moody Blues and, of course, Following his success with the Moody Blues, he branched out on a great solo career. Good seats still available to see Justin Hayward, All the Way Tour on Sunday, the 18th of August. Chris Isaak in concert Sunday, August 25th. For more information and to view the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule and to purchase tickets and to stay informed as new shows are added, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now the longtime arts writer for the Tucson Weekly. She's been writing for the Weekly actually since 1990, and she's also the author of two prize-winning books on immigration. The latest book is Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. Margaret, I understand you were actually in El Paso a couple of weeks ago talking about at the University of Texas at El Paso, UTEP, talking about your first book.
Yeah, I was invited there months ago to speak with, it was a wonderful symposium of high school teachers from all around the country who came down to UTEP, that's what everybody there calls the university, to learn about the border. And it was my first trip to El Paso, and what an interesting city. Very, very friendly people, wonderful streets to walk in at night, no dangers anywhere. I heard lots of Spanish, and certainly downtown it looks very Mexican. And I saw lots of people going back and forth with their shopping bags, as they do in Nogales. You know, it's very common along the border for Mexicans to come up and bolster our local economies by buying things. So I felt particularly stricken with the massacre on Saturday.
Yeah.
So many of them were Mexican-Americans.
And then, and the irony is that's one of the safest cities. They have one of the lowest crime rates in the United States there, a very
safe city
in El Paso. So adding to that, the tragedy and the irony of that horrible situation. I see the cover story of the current Tucson Weekly about Jack DiKinga, the fabulous photographer, and his work through the years at the Grand Canyon, and you wrote about it.
Yeah, that was really a fun assignment. At the Weekly, they really wanted to make it a cover, you know, because his photos are so great.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lot about him. I mean, he's very well known for his really gorgeous landscape things, but so I learned about his biography, which I'm always interested in. You know, how does a person become an artist? Well, as a young man, he was a news photographer in Chicago, which is his native city. And when he was only 28 years old, he won the Pulitzer Prize in photography.
Mm-hmm.
He had done this amazing series. They have pictures of it at Etherton in a book. It was one of these institutions that they used to have for people who, you know, mentally challenged, you know, cognitively challenged, people who used to be called retarded. They don't use that word anymore. And it was like this horrible hellhole of a place, and he made all these pictures of people lying naked, you know, completely unattended. So, I mean, he was a social justice, a journalistic photographer as a young man. But he, you know, became well known. I think he was recruited by the Arizona Daily Star, which is how, you know, he came to be a Tucsonan. And he worked there for 5 years, and then he really decided to go out on his own. And he wanted to be, really, I mean, his pictures are so beautiful, you know, pretty, but he was really interested in helping to preserve those places by making beautiful pictures that would let people understand how valuable they are.
And he did, he teamed up with the late, great Chuck Bowden on several books.
Yeah.
Chuck writing the text and Jack doing all the photographs of some some great places in Utah and in Arizona, actually throughout the Four Corners area, really talking and writing.
I didn't realize that until, you know, I learned about this working on this story. You know, Chuck Bowden's Frog Mountain Blues, Sonoran Desert, Stone Canyon. So that was really wonderful. You can just picture these guys. They would have been about the same age, you know, young men going, and not so young after a while, you know, going out and going on these journeys and doing their best to make people understand that we have to work hard to preserve these beautiful places that we have.
And Jack almost died of a lung disease, correct?
Yeah, well, Terry Etherton, the gallerist, told me the story. He says, oh, it's totally public, you know, you can use this.
Yeah.
At the age of 71, I guess he does these river tours, if I'm understanding correctly, but In any case, he was at the bottom of the Grand Canyon near the Colorado. Everything going fine. You know, he's setting up his photos. And this horrible sandstorm blows in, and it must have been wicked because it just that somehow he inhaled enough of this. I guess he couldn't get away from it.
Wow.
He was airlifted out of the Grand Canyon to Phoenix. They brought him to the Mayo Clinic, and he was extremely ill, really on his deathbed. His lungs were just completely unusable, and he ended up getting a double lung transplant at the age of 71. That's pretty major surgery.
Yes.
And he recovered, and Terry tells me right now, you know, he's 76, and at the moment he's preparing for another trip down to the Colorado River. So, you know, he's quite the hard-driving guy.
When I interviewed him a few years ago, he told me that Chuck Bowden, he actually asked Chuck to write his obituary while he was in the hospital there, and he didn't think he was going to survive. But his story is great, and it's, he'll speak and show wonderful pictures, slides, at Atherton August 31st. It's free, right?
It's all free, yeah. He's going to be right here. I mean, he lives in Tucson, so he had already come to the gallery when it opened a month ago, the show. And so this is a great chance for anybody who missed it to, I guess he's a wonderful storyteller, and there'll be all the slides of his adventures. So quite a wonderful thing happening August 31st.
You've got another art story for the Tucson Weekly that will be published, I think, this Thursday, actually.
Yeah, that's right. Now, this is it's interesting. I realized when I was thinking about these things, that what I was going to talk to you about is that both shows are inspired by an anniversary. The Dikinga show was about the 100th anniversary of the Grand Canyon as a national park, certainly a cherished place. And this show at the Center for Creative Photography is called A Portrait of Poetry. And, you know, they show photos. So this is a photo and poetry show that is was launched in honor of the 200th birthday of Walt Whitman. So it's such an interesting story. There's this guy, maybe in his 40s, he came and spoke at the center. His name is B.A. Van Cise, and he is actually a descendant of Walt Whitman.
Wow.
But he makes light of it. He says, oh, you know, he doesn't come to my parties. I never really knew him, but he is my ancestor. So, but he was always very interested in poetry, he says. As a young kid, he used to sneak into the high school classrooms early, supposedly, and uses chalk to write his poems on the blackboard. But he's a pretty successful photographer. And, you know, this big 200th anniversary was coming up. And he thought, maybe I will do a project, you know, honoring Walt Whitman, to take photographs of the poets who were inspired by him, the poets of today. You know, Walt Whitman is a really interesting figure in literary history. I mean, he was really a radical. You know, he was, you know, lived in the 19th century, 1819 to 1892, 200th anniversary. But he was a real rebel in terms of writing and poetry, and he thought that poetry shouldn't rhyme, it shouldn't have meter, and also you can use poetry to write about whatever you want. And Taylor Myler at the Center for the UA Poetry Center, he's involved in this show also. He said that Whitman really, really changed the game as far as poetry. He says the wild and exciting poetry of today owes a lot to Walt Whitman.
He, in many ways, he's the father of modern poetry, isn't he?
Absolutely. That's a really good way to put it. So if you go to this show, and they're beautiful photographs, and he had this whole project where he would collaborate with the poet. You know, he picked the poem that he wanted to see. Each photo was inspired by one poem. So he would pick the poem, but then he and the poet together would figure out how he was going to photograph them. Joy Harjo is a very famous poet, Native American, first
National poet.
Poet Laureate, the first Native American poet to have that. He pictures her in a cafe with a horse because she uses horses symbolically, you know, through many of her poems.
Going to have to run, Margaret. There is going to be, we want to talk about the free poetry writing workshop at the Center for Creative Photography Saturday, August 24th.
Yeah, absolutely. And all ages and levels of expertise are invited.
Margaret, always a pleasure. Thank you. We'll look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Fox Tucson Theater. The Fox fall season begins with Justin Hayward, All the Way Tour on Sunday, August 18th. Of course, Justin, famous member of the Moody Blues. That tour, Sunday the 18th, Chris Isaak in concert, Sunday, August 25th. For more information, to view the full Fox Tucson Theater art schedule and to purchase tickets and stay informed as the Fox, they're always adding new shows. Best place to go to check all of that out is foxtucson.com. We thank the Fox for their support of our twice a month arts report on Buckmaster. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news talk. On behalf of John Couch, my fine engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We hope you have a great afternoon. We'll be back with you 12:04 tomorrow at Wednesday edition. Be right back for that in 24 hours.